Did he hear what I said to your pastor? I said, turn me on. I just happened to be looking at Jenny when I said it, and I thought she'd heard me and started laughing. I'm going to abandon. You're going to have to just drop the levels a bit, please. I'm going to abandon what I've prepared to preach, and I'm going to just share my heart with you. So it's a case of God help me, or a case of God help you. Father, we ask you to just come upon us mightily, as we've asked you to come upon the children and the boys and girls. God, we ask you to breathe all over us now. In Jesus' name. I'm going to start where it's in my mind. I'll tell you what happened this morning. I was up quite early, and I was reading through the Christmas story, because I thought I haven't started on it yet. And I read it in Matthew first, and I began to read it in Luke. And things began to speak to me. So I want to share some of the things you might want to turn up where it is that you can look at it. And the first one was, I was reading Matthew. And Joseph. I really feel sorry for Joseph, because he's trying to do the right thing, and he gets told his woman's pregnant. And the only major problem with that is he hasn't been a naughty boy. If you want to use those naive sort of terms. And he's thinking about just divorcing her quietly, which is very noble, not wanting to put her to public disgrace. I'm reading this. I'm so familiar with this story, but when I'm reading it, it's as if I'm reading it almost for the first time. And in verse 20, it says, after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And it set me thinking this. How does God speak to us? Listen, God speaks to us primarily through the Bible. So folks, keep reading the Bible. This is part of, I just want to unload this to you. God speaks primarily through the Bible, but he also speaks through dreams. He also speaks through other people. I hope God is speaking through other people to you now, meaning me. God speaks to us through calamities. I mean, Gideon's leading us to pray for people in France. God has spoken to him through a calamity. God does that. How else does God speak to us? Through worship? Through preaching? Through prayer? Through creation. Oh, that's right. The heavens declare your handiwork. How else does God speak to us? Pardon? Through the Bible. Too true? Through dreams, yes, visions, all kinds of ways. Listen, let's be open to the supernatural. Now, I've just come back from a church in California. This time last week, I was worshiping with a church in California, thousands of people. I'd been to a conference, the Bethel Church, if you know the Bethel Church in Redding, California. And it's like you just sense it's built with a huge awareness of the supernatural. I didn't feel bad about that. I didn't feel got at. I thought all I felt was, God, make me aware of the supernatural. Make me aware that you are out and about always doing things. I want to leave that with you. God can speak to us in different ways. Listen, God can speak to people when you smile at them. God can speak to people when you wave to them. God can speak to people when you're praying for them. They have no idea you're praying for them. God will speak to them. which leads me on to something else. I was driving through Lewisham. My wife has refused to come this morning. She said, drop me off in Catford, because we got a daughter in Catford, and my daughter goes to the big church in Catford, and they have four meetings, I think, on the day, and they're all the same meeting, same sermon. So my daughter goes to the evening meeting. So Mo said to me, I'm not going to come with you. I'll drop me off in Catford. That's fine. She hears me preach often enough. And so I'm driving through Lewisham and threading my way through all the building, but I'm looking at all the buildings, and I'm thinking to myself, who lives in these houses? Are you so familiar with your area that you don't notice this? Or maybe you don't think these things? Because when we're familiar, we probably don't ask the questions, but it's so different from Bracknell. And so looking at, you know, fairly high rise, but not too many, four up and maybe higher. And I'm thinking this question. I'm thinking, God, how on earth are these people going to get saved? Who knows them? And then I had a thought, well, maybe somebody might know them. Somebody might, who's a Christian, somebody might work with them. Somebody might have children in school who knows the parents of children in school are Christians. You follow my line of thinking? You think like that. And then I come here and I think, oh God, not many people are here. That's not a criticism. That's how I think, how I look. And I think, God, you're supernatural. Will you break in? If you're taking notes, just put it down. God is supernatural. And next week, I'm doing a talk, a series of talks, in a place called Shepparton. You will have had invitations to this. I know it's a long way. And three things I'm going to be talking on. It's going to be a morning from 9 until 1. It's all part of what I want to share with you. And one of my sessions is, can people ask me, will you talk about your time in Bracknell? So one of my sessions is the questions people asked me. You would die if you heard some of the questions. Like one was, how on earth can your wife be married to you? And then I'm doing a session on the things that people said to me. I mean, I'm doing it for a purpose, to build faith. Like a woman who said to me after I'd been there 2 months, you need to leave. And she was a deacon's wife. But the third session, I'm going to speak on revival, because I come from a land of revival. We haven't had revival there for decades and decades. The last major one was 1904-05. But before that, revival seemed to be happening decade after decade, century after century. And it's just a supernatural thing. If you got time or the desire and the desire, if one or two of you come, I'd invite you to that. But the thing I want to say is, you know, keep on believing in the supernatural. Now, when I was in Bethel, the very last session, a guy gets up and he's the speaker. I'll just use this. And he said, I've been before God all the afternoon. You know, I mean, it's all lingo, isn't it? But we know what he means. He'd been praying. And he said, God has told me things I want to tell you. So he stands up and he says, I'm going to have to make up names because I can't remember names. And he said, is there a Fred and a Mabel, a married couple, in the building? Stand up, please. So this couple stand up. And I'm thinking, there could be 10 couples with the name of Fred and Mabel. Mo and Ben, there could be 10 couples in thousands of people. You'd agree with that? But there was only one couple. And then he says, does the 24th of March mean anything to you? And they say, oh, it's our wedding anniversary. And then he says, and then he names some town in America. And he says, I've never heard of this town, but it sounds like a town. Does that mean anything to you? And they said, yeah, we're going there to plant a church. He says, well, God's told me this for you. And he did that five times. Now, you can be dead cynical if you want to be. And because when I came home, I was talking to a guy, not from our church, from another church. He asked me what went on, and I thought I would drop that illustration on him because I knew he had problems with it. And he says to me, that's clairvoyance. And I said, yeah, I knew you'd say that. Now, listen. Well, clairvoyance is supernatural. Except that it's evil. Still in the realm of the spiritual. We use the spiritual thinking. We've got the only use of it. Loads of people talk about spiritual. And but what it did for me, it just got me. And I thought, yes, I must move ahead, go to the next level of the supernatural. I'd seen it with John Wimber, if any of you have been to John Wimber's meetings. But I thought, I saw it in my own life. God spoke to me. God revealed things to me. So supernatural. Now, let me just talk to you a bit about the reading, which Ruth read to us so well in her accent. I thought, why does God give people funny accents? But anyway, I cracked that joke at your wedding, I know that. And see, that story of Elijah saying to Ahab, it's not going to rain, it didn't rain. You think, I'd like to do that than a few people. Hey, it's going to rain every time you go abroad on some holidays. that's a joke, right? But later on, of course, he is fed supernaturally. The ravens, and then the brook dries up, and then God says, go outside of Israel to a widow from Zarephath, and she's going to feed you. And if you remember the story, Elijah sees this woman. She's about to make her last meal for her and her son. She says that. Read the scripture. And she says, don't ask me for anything, stranger. I'm just about to feed my son one last time myself. And then we're going to curl up and starve to death. And he said, listen, feed me first. You know the story. The jar of oil didn't run dry. And whatever held the meal or the flour, that didn't run out either. And they're both, weeks on, looking as fat as ever. Listen, I want to apply that, because I thought about it this morning. I want to apply it to your building project. See, you see, you're all clapping the building project, but you see, I wish you had the numbers up here. £350,000 you need, don't you? Hey, that takes the gloss off the application being agreed, doesn't it? Because I'm telling you, if the money was in and somebody'd walked off the street and, like they did in Bracknell, and gave us hundreds of thousands of pounds, and when the guy died, left his entire estate to us of £1 million, say, hey, Ben, if I experienced that, I wouldn't be clapping about the application. I'd be jumping over the chairs. Listen, what are you going to do about the money? How are you going to get it in? Pardon? Pray it in. Pray it in. Give it in. Hey, it's coming up there, is it? Target, 130,000. The whole lot is 325, is it? Doesn't matter. 350, 325 is just the same if you haven't got much money. Right? Now, listen. You and me, we are supernatural people because we are born again of a supernatural seed. 1 Peter says that. And so, this is a supernatural church, and we have a supernatural God, and we just need to believe supernaturally. Let me say something about believing. You can either believe in the Spirit, or you can believe in the flesh. You can either pray in the Spirit, or you can pray in the flesh. Now, praying in the flesh is like this. Oh, God, I wish everybody would give. I wouldn't have to ask you. I've heard people pray like that. Oh, God, you know, it's all very well to say this, but, you know, our leaders are dragging us into this. But, oh, God, I haven't got much money. Listen, or you can pray in the Spirit. You say, Lord, you are supernatural. I'm just asking you. And I'm not going to give up asking you because your word tells me to keep asking. Luke 18, I stand on your word, Lord. You know, Jesus said, he told a parable that mentioned all of prayer and not give up. And then he told the parable of the unjust judge and the widow. And she keeps saying, grant me, grant me justice against my adversary. And you think it's about a judge and a widow. Well, it is, because that's the illustration. That's why it's called a parable. But the thing is, Jesus is teaching them how to pray. Listen, pray the money in. Pray the money in. Just keep praying it. Pray against all odds. And when God gives you some money, just when God prompts you to give some money, just give money. We've just got an offering this Sunday and next Sunday in Bracknell for a £100,000. And Simon Benham, the pastor, I don't know how they came to this decision, because I'm no longer the leader, so I don't know what's going on. I just, like many of you, you just come here and think, oh, where did Gideon dream that up from? And don't you think that sometimes? No. You all know what's happening. But lots of people, and I'm sitting in this big congregation about and thinking, how did they work that out? And announcement, £100,000 gift day, we're going to give it all away. Half to five churches in the Balkans, and I don't know where the others are going. And my wife and I have already allocated our money, you see. So we had this conversation, and we thought, I'm not going to give anything to the gift day. And then we thought about it again. We said, well, actually, the Bible says you reap what you sow. As a man sows, so he shall reap. And then somebody invited us to a meal. I'm just telling you how life is. You recognize this. Somebody invited us to a meal to do with Macmillan nursing. Cancer? Well, Mo, as you know, is still on treatment for cancer. And she was a Marie Curie nurse. But anyway, Anyway. So she's invited to this. And the thing is, you go to a meal and you're expected to contribute. That's the deal. So Mo said, well, I tell you what, the amount now we've decided to give to the church, we'll give a bit of that to the meal. And I'm not a good boy for saying this. I said, listen, let's give to both. Because, you see, God will see us aright. You reap what you sow in life. I'll tell you one thing. You will never beat me in the argument about that. Because I've got decades of seeing the most incredible things happen spiritually. And supernaturally, rather, about money. Have faith in God. Just, you know, in your silent moments, God, thank you for the application. The green light has been given. Thank you for that. Now give us the money. Now I tell you, I used to beg God to give us the red light in Bracknell. Do you know why? Because the cost was going up all the time. And when it got to about touching 3 million, I used to be saying, God, I think I need a red light here so we cannot go ahead with the project. Right? And all the time, the next bit of planning application, it kept coming back, the green light. I think, oh God, God, please give us the money. And I used to pray this, Lord, send somebody in off the street with money. I always agreed. You've heard me say this, but as a reminder, I've always agreed we should pay our own bills. But I still prayed. But God, send us people who are favorable to us. And then this guy comes in off the street and says to us, I've got a problem. I've got so much money, I don't know what to do with it. And I'm thinking, what? Answer to prayer. Throwing 25 grand at a time at us. You say, you had a big congregation. This was one man. You can have one man here, one woman. Just pray it in. And don't tell God who's got money, who hasn't got money. Anyway, now, that's something. Now, listen, I'm going to show you a little card. You can come to this if you want to, but you probably won't want to. This is our Christmas encounter in Bracknell. I run a midweek meeting. We only have 50 to it. I'm wanting 100 to it, 150. But this is the card for our Christmas do, and this is on the 9th of December. Well, I'll tell you about this. A year ago, Mo and I were invited to a carol service in what turned out to be a black majority Baptist church in Streatham. When I was in college in 1960 to 64, it was basically a totally white church. So when I got there, I thought, gosh, of course, times have changed, and I had forgotten it. But I had no problem with that, by the way. It was just thrilling. And we go there, and it was brilliant. They had two preachers, a white guy and a black guy, and the white guy, who's the senior pastor, he preached. He was totally eclipsed by the black guy, who preached fantastically, and even rebuked Chuckamono, is it? Who was who's the MP for the area, because he was reading the lesson and said, Christmas is about family and children. So when this guy got up, he just said, no, it isn't. Well, he said, it is, but it's about more than that, it's about Jesus. So all that's going on. And we're singing carols, and when a place is full, you know, it has its own momentum. And then this black woman gets up to speak. I've got to say black, because when a black person sings, it's a bit different from white people, isn't it? Well, it is. Come on. She was absolutely magnificent. Her voice was incredible, but the Spirit of God was on her. And Mo looked at me and she said, we've come just to hear this. It was amazing. And then she got up again to sing towards the end. At the end, the meeting went on for an hour and 45 minutes. And it was just fabulous. And then I thought, I'm going to get her to sing at my Encounter Christmas next year. Right? And then a little voice thinks, she'll be too big for that. Because she was obviously trained. So when we were at the DVD conference, her pastor came, friend of Ella Butcher, and another pastor came. And this girl, Ella, who's in her 80s, she said to me, who was staying with us, can they come back for a meal? And I remember thinking, I can do with that like a hole in the head. But anyway, I decided to ask her pastor, can I have this girl in your church to sing? Right. Now, already, Ella, who's a lovely girl, said, well, she's a woman, she's very busy and she's a student and she's not a kid. She's I don't know, she's in her early 30s. So I just asked him. And he said, I'll think about it. So I emailed him. And in the end, he said, I've talked to her, she can come. Now, why I'm telling you that is, just be persistent. Can't say, God, can't she come? Just be persistent. And just don't take no for an answer. And when I asked her, will you give me a bit of bio about you? I mean, I was staggered. She's semi-professional. She's sung with all kinds of artists, and you may know some, I'd never heard of them. And when I showed this to some of the people who'd be singing, leading the worship in the carol service, they go, I don't know whether I want to be on the same platform as she's in there. And I'm thinking, hey, just believe God for big things. Listen, I tell her, believe God for big things. I can't wait for the woman to come. I mean, God will have to turn up, otherwise her sing would be hopeless. You know, God will have to turn up. But listen, just pray for big things. Now, look at this. Look at this building again. Keep asking God, fill it. I don't care. I don't care what your prejudices are. I don't care what your fears are. I don't care if you say, I think you're getting at us, Ben. I'm not getting at you. I'm just opening the door for you to get at God. Yes. And say, God, fill this building. You see, how are people come to know about Jesus? Well, it's going to have to be revival. It's going to have to be regular inviting people. And well, I've invited dozens in my life and hundreds and nobody comes. Yeah, I've gone through that as well. But, you know, we're going to say, God, we're never going to give up on you. The Bible says this, Old Testament, says God speaking to the prophets, you have wearied me with your sin, but you haven't wearied me with your requests. And I think, okay then, God, I'm going to tire you out with my request. Please, God, fill this building. And we're not after big churches. We're after big people in God. So we say, God, fill the building, but then fill the people with God. I'm just stirring you up because I just want you to keep going. Don't pray in the flesh. Don't pray under pressure. Oh, Gideon makes us do. Don't. You know, Ben Davis is at us again about the building. I'm not at you. I'm thinking, oh, God, we believe you. Supernaturally, will you get amongst the people of this borough? I'm desperate for it. I'm just desperate. Listen, why am I desperate? Because God has put it in there. In the natural, I wouldn't be desperate. In the natural, I'm desperate in the natural for Wales always to beat England at rugby. That's my desperation. Oh, they did beat them recently, didn't they? But you see, but why am I desperate spiritually? Because God has done it to me. It's nothing to boast about. I can't keep quiet about it. I say, oh God, we must have thousands and thousands of people saved. Let me ask you a question, because this question was put to me last week at the conference. Do you have an ache for God? And I thought, yes, I have a bit of an ache for God. Then I found myself praying, God, increase my ache for you. Increase my ache for holiness. Increase my ache for the supernatural. Increase my ache to see people saved, healed. I beg you to ask God for these things. Ask God to increase your ache. Because there's thousands of people. I know I can just abandon them to God. And then God won't let me abandon them. God keeps me thinking, these people don't know me. So I've covered faith, money, I've covered impossibilities. Hey, I'm going to cover something else. Let's go to Luke, because I started reading Luke then after I'd read the Matthew version of Christmas. And nothing in the Bible says pray for snow at Christmas, but I do. But anyway, every time I say pray for snow at Christmas, somebody says, if you had to travel to work, you wouldn't want snow. And I think I know that, sir. Luke chapter 1. It's the story of Zechariah going to work. I love it. I may have preached it here, because I'm always preaching it. Verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and decrees blamelessly. That doesn't mean they were perfect. But they carried a great sadness. They were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive and they were both very old. Listen, you may carry a great sadness. I carried a great sadness 5 years ago when I thought, or just over 5 years, when Mo was diagnosed. We cried together and we said to one another, this may be our last Christmas together. Let's make it a good one. It's a bit selfish, isn't it? Well, we've had a few more Christmases since then. Now, once when Zechariah's division was on duty, this absolutely gets me hopping. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. There were so many priests. Only once in the lifetime of a priest's working life would he be chosen by rota to burn incense right in the holy place. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Now listen, this guy was going to work. He may have been given the rota a fortnight before. I don't know if you work on rotas, and you're given the rota a fortnight before. But I don't know when he was given it, but I'm assuming he was given it beforehand, and he must have said to his wife, "Darling, it's going to be a big day for me today." And he didn't know how big a day it was going to be. Is that right? Welcome to you. Lovely to see you. And Zechariah, I'm putting this to you. I would say he didn't realize how big a day it was going to be. Because really, it was his normal working day. It was slightly abnormal because he was doing this once in a lifetime. And he think, this is, I'm on the road. I've been chosen by lot. Now, I want to say this. You can come to church, I mean this building, every Sunday. You can come and watch a film Friday night. You can do what you do in the week. You can get up any day, and if you're retired, you don't go out in the morning, whatever. If you're working, you go to work, you ride the bus or the train or the bike or the car or whatever. And I'm going to say this. We just need to believe today may be the day. Today may be the day. And if you say, well, how long have you been believing that? Well, I've been believing that since I'm a Christian. And you say, don't you get fed up with that? No, because life's like that. Then, as he is burning incense, an angel of the Lord appears to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah heard him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. Now, when I read that, I tell you what I prayed this morning. God, will you startle me again? Will you grip me with fear? I asked myself, when was I last startled by the presence of God? When was I last gripped with fear by the presence of God? I don't care if it was a year ago or 5 years ago. I don't feel condemned by that. All I'm saying, God, please startle me and grip me with fear. I don't care where you do it, whether I'm in bed, in the bath, in the shower, on the tram, on the bus, in a church meeting. God, I'm desperate to be startled and gripped by fear because of the presence of the supernatural. Pray for it. Long for it. Ache for it. Expect it. Just expect it. Keep on expecting it. I'm stirring you up. I know what I'm doing. I'm stirring you up to believe in the supernatural. But, you know, there's something bigger coming. He's startled, gripped with fear, but the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." You know, there is fear in us when God begins to move. We're more comfortable with our programs. We're more comfortable with our organization. We're more comfortable with a good time of worship, a good sermon, and all that. But when God begins to move, it can be frightening. Say, bring it on, God. Bring it on. I've just been reading about revival yesterday because I'm preparing this message for next Saturday. And people are like, they fall under the power of the presence of God, not falling down laughing as we are used to in the move of the Spirit in times past. They're falling down in agony because of conviction of sin. I think, oh God. I remember once a guy preaching and I'm sitting and I nearly jumped and ran out because he was preaching on something that I wasn't right with God on. The angel said to him, "Don't be afraid. Zechariah, your prayers have been heard." How about that? I want to prophesy this over you. Your prayers have been heard. Amen. Listen to it. Your prayers have been heard. Amen. Say it again. Your prayers have been heard. Your prayers for money have been heard. Your prayers for a full building have been heard. The thing about prayer is this. It's a timing. You know, Zechariah and Elizabeth, I don't know how long they've been praying. Please, can I be pregnant? Please, no more periods. Please, God. Your prayers have been heard. I want to say it again to you. your prayers have been heard. Amen. Your prayers for people, your prayers for money, your prayers for overcoming your temptations. We weakly resign to temptations that we deplore within ourselves, let alone in others. And I think, oh God, how long do I entice myself so that I fall? God, I need your power. And the Spirit is saying this morning, your prayers have been heard. Receive it. Believe it. Don't cower back. Ah, what's it going to mean for me? I tell you what it's going to mean for you. It's going to mean change. It's going to mean growth. It's going to mean joy in the Holy Spirit. It's going to mean power. It's going to be more revelation. It's going to be so exciting. It's going to be an awareness of God's presence more powerfully than ever before. But this is our supernatural God. Believe for it. Listen. You need to pray a few things in this church. Pray for money. Big money. You think you're all on about money? Well, of course we are, because the world is always money. You know? Pray for money. The second thing is, pray for numbers. These are things not to make you feel good. They will make you feel good. I tell you, if there were 100 people sitting in the balcony upstairs, you'd feel really good about it. Wouldn't you? Come on, answer me back. You're not white people who, in the main, who are quiet. You're supposed to be shouters back. True?
Yes.
Thank you. Shout back at me. Right? You will feel good if this place is full. There'll be some really good thoughts. More money coming in. That's a bad motive. It's not a bad motive. It's a sheer reality. More people, more money. More people, better singing. More people to do things. But that's not the motive of getting them in. I'm just telling you the spin-off of it. Yes. Listen, pray for musicians. Pray for musicians. You singers, you're doing a brilliant job. And I didn't realize there were no musicians this morning until I looked and see who was on the keyboard. And I thought, oh gosh, we're singing to a backing track here. That's true, isn't it? Unless they're hidden somewhere. It's like the woman who you say to her, hey, your playing was good, and she didn't know it was God. I thought, I'm sure it was your hands I saw on the keyboard. Listen, pray. Tell God, we need some decent drummers. Not too loud, God. Give us drummers who drum sensitively. Because drummers sometimes drum in the flesh. We need drummers in the spirit. Do you agree with that? Yes. We need some singers, so not the same old, not the same young singers every week, not the same preachers every week. We need keyboard players. Pray for it, and pray for every time you're together. Oh God, give us, because you need it. Pray. Your prayers have been heard.
Well, it's a long time coming.
Don't tell God that. He knows that you've thought that already. But say, oh God, Ben Davis said, our prayers have been heard. Then I'm going to keep on praying until I see the evidence for my own eyes and with my own ears. Pray for it. Pray for more children, which means more families, unless you want to breed your own. Pray. No, thank you. No, thank you, sir. Pray. Give us more teenagers, more children. Give us, God, write this down and pray, make it a prayer list. God, give us youth workers who are inspiring. Do you know, just as I handed over the baton, our then youth worker in Bracknell, he headhunted a guy. He'd been with the Salvation Army in another place. Do you know, our numbers, young people, went from 80 to 500. I looked at it. I thought, what did I do wrong? I could never produce that. The police said they wondered what had happened. This is gospel truth. What had happened on a Friday night in Bracknell, because the streets seemed to be clear of youngsters. They were all going to the care centre. They caused us huge problems, of course, because they didn't respect property. And now it's just down to about 250. But you'd settle for that, wouldn't you? It would drive you mad. It would drive you mad. What'd you do with 250 who didn't obey the rules of the church. Oh God, please hear our cry. Send them in, save them, raise up people who go for that. Listen, good job I didn't preach what I prepared, because it would have died on me and then it would have died on you. I cannot stand this building that is so empty. That is no criticism of you at all. It's, oh yes, this is what I heard. This is a good one. I should have brought that list. Gideon was with me on Friday with a group of people, and I went through a list of things I heard at the conference. And I because when the guys are preaching, things drop. They come at you, don't they? You're hearing a load of stuff, and then this comes this one-liner, and my ear is attuned to one-liners, and this is one of the one-liners: prophesy to the dead bones every time you get an opportunity. Well, I've got an opportunity now. I'm going to prophesy to their dead bones. Pews upstairs, come alive with people. Amen. Right? Chairs downstairs, come alive with people. Will you prophesy that? You prophesy it now. Go on. I want you to do a job here. Prophesy it. Go on out loud. Look at the chairs. Look at the stage. And where are the keyboards? Prophesy it. Oh, yes. Yes, Lord. Kupapakatasanda. Dasapakurapatasanda. More people, more money. We prophesy. Come in, dead bones. More people to work with the youth. More people to do with the catering. Come in, people. More people to praise God. We say, come in from the streets around this building. Yes. Let me tell you another, and there's a lot of dead bones around here. You could go a mile around this building, 2 miles around this building, 3 miles around this building, and you could say people are just not interested in God. That would be true. In the main, wouldn't it? They're not our type. Hey, they're not our type. There's a load of people around here, not your type. Prophesy to them. Come in, not our type. And then don't prophesy a wrong prophesy and become like us. Just say, come in, not our type, and become like God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I just love your spirit. I'm going to say this. God is upon you powerfully. I've seen it before. And God's going to do things in you, through you, you have no idea about. Amen. And don't panic, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You're all panicking, are you? I saw your face. And I want to say to you white people, I know I'm not supposed to notice colors at all, but I do because I'm that sort of guy. You prophesy to the white people around here. Come to Jesus. When you pass them, come to Jesus. If somebody looks like you, say, come to Jesus. When I drive home now to Catford and I have lunch with my daughter and Mo and their husband and family, I'm going to be looking at people. I'm going to be looking at people now. I've said it to you as I'm driving along. Keep my eyes on the road as well. Oh, God, bring these people to Jesus, because actually we know it's not about this church. It's not about this building. It's about people knowing Jesus. It's about dead bones who should be alive, because Jesus needs to see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Father, can I see the results of my death on the cross and my resurrection? Amen. It's a supernatural thing. Amen. Rise up in your supernaturalness. You are born again of an indestructible seed. And the devil's always nibbling away at you to keep you at a low level, which is a no level. And God wants you to be in a go level and a grow level. Jesus, your prayers have been heard. I want to tell you this. God hears prayer. God inspires prayer. God hears prayer. God hears everything. God sees everything. God knows everything. God can do everything. With God, nothing is impossible. We walk by faith and not by sight. We look at that, but we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by numbers. We walk by faith and not by failure. God is not afraid of your failures, because mercy triumphs failure. Where sin abounds, God abounds. His grace abounds all the more. Because if you're like me, you say, God, I'd like to be part of this great surge of life, but I'm too unworthy. I'm too unclean. I'm too inconsistent. Listen, God is not afraid of that, because he chooses the weak things in the world and he makes them strong. He chooses the unclean and makes them clean. He chooses the poor and makes them rich. I heard this at the conference. Think as a wealthy person. Think as a wealthy person. I am praying for great wealth. Do you know why? Because I'd like to walk into this place and say to Gideon and Irene and the rest of you, listen, I'll fund the thing for you. It probably wouldn't do your faith much good. It'll do the bank balance pretty good. But I'd like to be able to do it nevertheless, because people have done it to me. People have done it to me. People have said, you've never gone on holiday. We're going to pay for you to go on holiday over and over and over again. Jesus, your prayers have been heard. God has heard your prayers. I want to yell it out. God has heard your prayers.
Amen.
Dasha kaparoto sando. Another prayer. Ask God to raise up anointed preachers.
Amen.
Ask God to give Gideon a bigger anointing.
Amen.
And Irene a bigger anointing.
Amen.
Why? Well, they need it, don't they? Go on, say yes. Of course they know. I need it. Ask for me. Give him a much bigger anointing. Ask God, raise up preachers. Raise up anointed worship leaders. Raise up anointed floor sweepers. Because you know the danger is we think all the big boys end up on the platform. They're not meant to. All the big boys and girls are meant to exercise their gift appropriately and where there is a need to meet it because of their gift.
Amen.
We've got a guy in our church who's a road sweeper and he's constantly saying, I've got a rubbish job. I'm waiting for the next time he says it to me, because I'm going to say, you haven't got a rubbish job, you just happen to sweep up rubbish. But he's identified himself with the rubbish, thinking, I've got a rubbish job. He hasn't. He's got a brilliant job. If he didn't sweep the streets, the streets would be full of rats jumping 10 feet high. If they're supernatural. If they're normal, they'd be jumping about 2 inches high. Father, speak. Speak to your gifting. Speak to, oh God, my gifting. I will do the washing up. I will open the doors to the glory of God. Whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. Work as if unto the Lord. Church is not about platform. Church is about everybody with their multitude of gifts. Hey, let's stand. Let's stand. Listen, you can sing. Is the word apocalypse? What's the word when you sing without music?
Acapella.
How much?
Acapella.
Acapella. That's right. Acapella. Now, we can sing without music, can't we?
Yeah.
What about this girl leading us? This girl being, is it Tracy? Can you lead us? I mean, if you've got something on the backing track, but it'd have to be the right one. Have you got one that would just give God the glory before we close down? Go on, try it. We'll follow you. Pardon? Or anything. I'm expecting you to be as inspired as I am now when it comes to the choice of songs. And listen, don't worry if you think, is this the song? We're not worried about that. We just want to praise God. Puyara patasanda. Let's praise him. Worship him. Let's give God the glory. This is a supernatural moment. It's a supernatural day. We are supernatural people. We worship a supernatural God. Blessed be your name, your mother is saying, and if your mother says it, it must be supernatural. Oh, you are praising me.